This is the Revitalize My Church podcast, created to help churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. This episode is hosted by the Executive Director of Assist Church Expansion, Nathan Bryant, and his ministry colleague, Bart Blair.
Welcome to episode 29 of the Revitalize My Church podcast. I'm Bart Blair, the Director of Church Revitalization for Assist Church Expansion, and I'm joined on the first of the month, as usual, by the Executive Director of Assist, Nathan Bryant. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Bart.
Welcome to the fall of 2025. Is the fall season treating you well?
Well, it's I love this weather. This year, for whatever reason, fall started, it seemed like, in the middle of July, which never happens. And so I've been enjoying every minute of it because fall is my favorite time of year. So
That's fall awesome. In Ontario in the middle of July.
Yep, that's
the
correct.
Cats in Texas are still sweating. It's still it's still hot. You know what? You were a little under the weather for a little while. You're doing better, I take it.
I still have a bit of a. I think it's some kind of pneumonia. I'm not sure what it is, but it's in my lungs, and usually only when I'm talking, which probably is a good thing for others. So
Well, we've been on a few Zoom calls here the last month or so, and you've been traveling quite a bit and a little bit under the weather. You look good. You sound good today. Just don't lose a lung coughing while we do this recording.
Well, thank you.
You know, for those of you who might be new to our podcast, we release two episodes every month, once on the first of the month and one on the 15th of the month. And the first of the month, it's typically Nathan and me talking about things that we have learned or are learning about church revitalization and church replants, restarting, vision refresh. I'm constantly reading, constantly trying to learn. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and a lot of the things that we share on this podcast are things that we've learned from being in the trenches of all of this. A lot of it is stuff that we're learning from others. And we've been in a bit of a series. The last four episodes that you and I have recorded together, Nathan, we basically hijacked some content that we got from Terry Long and the North Carolina Baptists. And we've been going through a list of 10 essentials for church revitalization. And we're kind of wrapping up this little mini series within our podcast. We've covered topics such as dependent prayer, Christ-centered worship, gospel-centered fellowship, joyful hospitality. That's a few of the things we've talked about over the course of the last handful of episodes. Today, we're going to be talking specifically the last two, concluding this, hopeful vision and leadership development. These are sort of our two topics today, and we'll do our best to be insightful and concise as we talk about hopeful vision and leadership development. So, Nathan, let me start with you. If this is an essential, if hopeful vision is an essential for church revitalization, how would you frame that? What is hopeful vision, and how does it help a church move towards revitalization?
Well, if a church is needing revitalization, it needs hope. So I love the
vision.
Term hope.
They need some vision. Yeah.
They need vision. And they need hope. It's really a huge deal. It's interesting to me when I work with lots of different leaders, people have different leadership giftings. And, you know, I tell people there's a distinction between a leader and a manager. And they ask, well, what's the distinction? Well, a manager tells people what to do. A leader inspires people to want to do it. And they're not the same thing at all. In fact, what happens to people who are so personally inspired, they think that other people are personally inspired without actually communicating that vision to them. And they're expecting them to have the same motivation to do all the tasks they're asking them to do. But people feel bullied. They feel pushed. They feel directed. They feel all these things that are very impersonal. Whereas when you can cast vision, hopeful vision about a preferred future that God is taking us on together, and inspire them to want to join you in that, then they're wanting to be directed from that. So direction and being able to move people and ask people to do tasks comes after they've engaged and committed to the vision. You know, but oftentimes leaders start with the task. We got to get this done and make this change. And especially in a revitalization situation where for a lot of churches that we're working with, we haven't really had hope for a very long time. In fact, they've had a lot of loss. So they've engaged people leaving the church and people leaving the church and this didn't work and that didn't work and whatever happened. And so they've lived in a long season of loss, and it can become very jaded and sad and not hopeful and feeling skeptical that there could be hope. So a vision, a leader really needs to be focusing in on what is the hopeful vision that we can create for this community of people, for where God would want us to be as his people, and work to inspire people towards it, not just tell people what to do and be mad at them for not. You know, I find a lot of guys trying to move change often are beating the sheep, and not because they're evil or mean, but they really desire to see good things happen. But they're trying to lead through managing instead of leading through vision and then managing from the vision.
Why don't you speak a little bit about vision itself for many of the leaders who might be listening to this podcast? Vision is one of those things, the word gets tossed around a lot.
And, yes.
You know, even in the context of the church plant that I'm a part of here in Dallas right now, we've been talking about vision. What is it? How do we define it? How do we synthesize a vision that that creates a clear vision or future, but, you know, picture of where we're headed in the future? What is vision to you? How do you describe that to a leader?
Well, I think oftentimes people take components of vision and say that that's vision, and they're not wrong in saying it. So, but I like to say we want to create a comprehensive strategic vision. So I want a big picture that's comprehensive. So when we're working with churches, we're working with four basic components of vision. The first component, and we've talked about this, I think, in a previous podcast, but the first component of vision is the why question. What's the purpose of our church? Why do we exist? And we have clarification for that. What, you know, and of course we arrive at that from the scripture, but we need to have clarity on a compelling purpose that really unifies and directs us and shapes everything that we do through that purpose. The second piece a vision is clarifying our cultural identity. Who are we as a people? And that should be based upon who we're trying to reach and who God wants us to be. And those things need to come together to create a clarifying identity of who we are and who are we trying to be as God's people. And the third component of vision is what we really get after, is the nitty gritty. What's the plan? How are we going to move this thing forward? Which is the third question of how are we going to reach the lost? How are we going to integrate people into our faith community? How are we going to make disciples, and how are we going to develop leaders? Those four how questions need to be answered so we can have clarity on like what we're actually practically doing as a church and how we structure ourselves and do the things that we do. The last piece of vision, I think, is where people camp into, which is a phenomenal piece of vision, which is the where are we going, the preferred future part of our vision framework that we're trying to produce. But it's difficult for me to say, here's our preferred future, but we have no idea who we are, why we exist, and where we're going, and how we're going to do it. So I like to build those other pieces first and say, okay, if we're going to be existing for this purpose and being these kinds of people doing these things, where will we be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and really pull that out so that where we're going as a church family and that preferred future can be really clarified visually through the clarification of what we're actually doing to get there. And what will that look like? If we're able to do these things well by God's grace and be the kinds of people he wants us to be, man, what would this look like out here? And that comprehensive strategic vision is vision. But I think whenever you're sharing vision, you're sharing each one of these components. And maybe you're sharing just a piece of it at a time, or you're going to talk about purpose. Well, that's vision. We're going to talk about who we are as God's people and what God's calling us to be. That's vision. We're talking about how we're going to get after this and what plans we've got to do to make that happen. That's vision. Or where are we going to be? What if God would, by his grace, would allow us to realize this plan that we have? Where could we be 6 months from now? Where could we be 5 years from now or 10 years from now? What would that look like? And I think we have to have that imagination out here to really give us excitement about, you know, what God has for us as his people.
If our listeners have listened to the episodes in which we've talked about the components of our strategic planning process, we go through a process of helping the church answer those questions. Who are we? Why do we exist? Who do we need to be to reach the people that God's called us to reach? We really extrapolate on those things. And one of the things that we work on with churches is coming up with what we call a purpose statement. Now, it's interesting because many churches will come up with what they call a vision statement or a mission statement. Many actually don't come up with a purpose statement. And so it, my recommendation, I'm not big on the vision statement personally, only because I find it very difficult for a single statement to really encapsulate a preferred future. If you're listening to this podcast and you've never read Michael Hyatt's book, The Vision-Driven Leader, Michael Hyatt is a Christian leader. The book is written more to a business leader audience, but it certainly applies to church leaders. His prescription for vision is not writing a statement, but really fleshing out a very, very detailed document with where the church is headed. But if I'm going to boil those things down and I say, well, we have a mission statement or a vision statement, I say we, our purpose statement defines why we exist. Our mission statement clarifies what we do or what we're going to be doing. And our vision statement is a statement that describes what the future will be if we're actually living out our purpose.
Exactly.
Doing the things our mission statement says that we'll do. And you're right. All of it, I think, is part of vision. All of it is helping people see that there's some place to go. There's something that God wants us to accomplish, something that God has called us to, and we're uniquely positioned to do something that no other church in our country.
Absolutely. I think people need to know why they're there, who they are, how they're doing it, and where they're going. They need those four questions answered. And I tell guys all the time, when they're talking to their people, every time they get up and speak in front of their people, even when they're first starting or moving forward, they should be answering those one of those questions every time. And the person who's answering those questions is the leader. And lots of times guys are more directive. They're into what you should be doing piece, but they've given none of the other pieces to it. So there's no context of why we do what we do, or how come we're doing them, or what aspirationally are we going towards that causes me to want to have to do this, or to make this change, or to make this sacrifice. Oftentimes people, you know, especially in a church revitalization process, we're asking for people to make some big changes, and those changes are huge. But, you know, if you don't have a reason why you're asking for that change, it's already hard enough to make the change. It's even harder when there doesn't seem to be any reason that makes sense to do it. So I'm really big on people being inspired towards a better future and volunteering themselves to commit to doing it. Then they're ready to do the action required. And if we get that reversed, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, a lot of churches and church leaders will kind of skip to the what we need to do versus the why we need to do things. And we see this over and over again. Everyone's looking for the silver bullet. You know, if we just implement sermon-based small groups, then the church will grow and it'll be healthier. Or if we just have a better strategic partnerships with other organizations in our community and we're more active outside the church, or if we just do this ice cream social at this particular time of year, then we're more likely to reach people who are following. Right? Like those are the things. But the what's are important, but they can't trump the why. If we don't establish the why, then it doesn't matter what we do. Before we move on to the next point, I want to bring some scripture into this. We would
absolutely
to speak about vision and not bring up Proverbs 29:18 that says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. It's a strong statement, but let's put it in the context of a church that's stagnant or in decline. Most of the time, those churches lack vision. People don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They're not even really sure why they exist, or they've invented the reason why they exist, why the church exists. And it typically exists for them, right? And this is me, it's my church, and I'm getting from it what I want. And maybe perish is a pretty strong word, but man, where there is no vision, a church is going to get stuck. Where there is no vision, a church is likely to be in decline. It's certainly not going to be taking the hill for God and his kingdom purposes when there is no vision.
Yeah, the other piece for me, Bart, when you're talking about that, is that vision not only mobilizes and inspires people, but it unifies people. Mm-hmm. Because when people are in the church, whether they're coming to the church or been in the church forever, they have their own reasons for being there. And they have their own sense of what the purpose is and why we're here and what we're trying to do. And oftentimes those can be competing ideas on one another. Everybody has their own idea of what this church is all about. So if you don't clarify what the church is all about and give them strong biblical teaching on what the church is all about and direct them that this is where the Lord is leading us as a congregation to move towards this preferred future and why, and give them inspiration to move towards it and time to process that, you're going to be still functioning within their own set idea of what they think they should be doing.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. And so although you may be intending good motives and good, and people probably do have great motives for what they're doing and why they're doing it, but they're competing with each other. So part of sharing and work, doing the work to create a comprehensive vision, it really helps you to bring unity across the church family about we're all together on who we are, where we're headed. There isn't confusion on that. And that's really, really important.
And just to reiterate, we're talking about hopeful vision, and hope really, yes, really does matter. In a lot of cases, I got a text message from one of our church partners just this last week, basically saying, hey, we're making progress. Things are going well, but people are tired. People are tired. Isaiah 40, 31 says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's hope in the Lord.
Yes.
Their strength, they'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And weariness, faint, exhaustion, tiredness, discouragement, those are a lot of things that a lot of people in churches that are stagnant or in decline are experiencing. That's something that the leader himself can be experiencing as he's trying to move the needle and help the church move forward. So vision needs to be full of hope, but the hope that we have is in the Lord, that he is going to be the one that builds his house. You know, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Says the Lord, amen.
To hope,
well, put our hope two in. Things, when I think of the hopeful piece, Bart, is, and you've already hit on one of it, is that our hope is in Jesus, not in ourselves. That's the first thing. But the other piece is, I think sometimes people can be unrealistic in the vision they're trying to communicate, and it's not really doable. And so, and you can really exasperate people pretty quickly if they're trying to move a mountain that isn't realistic to be moved. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for what God is leading you by his spirit to do some audacious things. Absolutely do that. But some guys, that's all they do is these huge audacious goals that are just not really realistic. So, in creating a hopeful vision, it needs to be big enough that it's going to stretch us and it's going to require God to do it through us. But it needs to be realistic enough that they can actually see themselves in it. And so both those things have to be true, I think, when we're dealing with hopeful vision. Because when you have that combination where it's like, yeah, that's what God wants us to do, and it is beyond what we're capable, but man, I can see it happening. And if those two can come together, and people can believe that God can use them to do that, then you have something powerful.
Absolutely. Let's shift gears here, and let's talk about the 10th of our 10 essentials for church revitalization. And this is one that I think will catch a lot of people off guard, and that is leadership development. Leadership development. This might be one of the most missing ingredients in the normative-sized church in North America. There's just, yes, not a whole lot of leadership development going on. I think part of it is cultural. I think a lot of small and mid-sized church pastors believe that they're paid to be the leader and to do the work. They're not necessarily always confident or competent in their ability to empower other leaders and to equip other leaders. But let's talk about leadership development and how you would see that being an essential for church revitalization, Nathan.
Yeah, I think one more point to what you were saying there is that a lot of guys have never had that done to them. So they have no context to figure out, like they just had to figure it out on their own, on their way. I think we even talked about that at least at one of the other podcasts. But yeah, I mean, without leaders, you can't grow anything. You can't start a small group without a leader. You can't lead a Sunday school class without a leader. You can't do anything, have any team function in the church without leadership, and you can't have action outside the church without leadership organizing it. So where you have people that need to be working together in any capacity doing anything, there's leadership required. So we're not going to be able to organize and move the church without leaders, and we certainly aren't going to grow the church without leaders, and we definitely aren't going to multiply the church without leaders. So I think what happens with most churches is they're so focused on the front end of just surviving, and they can't move. They want to someday get to that leadership development. They're really hoping that they work on that. But man, we just want to like survive. Can we just function on a Sunday? Can we work to do anything to do outreach? Can we make a plan to actually reach people and integrate them and start to grow some people? And if they can do that and things are happening, they've got so much going on. They want to develop leaders, but it's the last piece that they're trying to get after. So it's one of those quadrant two things that you know, they're like, oh no, we really would like, I'm quadrant three things, I should say, in the Cubby quadrant piece that they're trying to push after. And because it isn't urgent, but it is crazy important, they just never get to it. And they don't have the energy to execute. So sometimes I think it's because they haven't had it done to them. Sometimes I think it's because they don't have a plan or whatever. But I think the vast majority of the time in the churches that we try to even work with, we're helping them build that plan, is they have run out of gas by the time they get to that piece to work on, because there's so much else to do to actually get the church to operate. But there's no way that you're going to grow and mobilize the church without developing leaders. It isn't going to happen. You can't effectively help people be healthy without leaders helping them move forward. And if we're not developing more leaders, we have no capacity to take on more people.
I think the trick too, for some churches and church leaders, is just simply the way that they define leadership and how leaders operate in the context of their church. And really, in my experience, I can only speak from my experience in the churches that I've served in. I look at leadership in there's two different prongs for this leadership. One is spiritual leaders, to be able to invest in people who are going to share the shepherding load in the context of the church, potential elders or deacons, or people who aspire to simply have spiritual leadership in the context of the church. And then there are sort of functional, practical leaders. The person who leads the hospitality team on Sunday morning, that organizes the coffee and the donuts and bottles of water and makes sure that the building is tidy and that the bulletins are where they're supposed to be before the service starts, that doesn't require the same level of leadership investment or leadership development that investing in someone who's going to be, you know, your student ministry director, or perhaps worship leader, or a potential elder. And so there's different ways that we need to invest in those leaders. You and I are both big fans of John and Dave Ferguson's book, Exponential. Exponential book, the leadership prescription in that book is an apprentice model leadership, that every ministry should have an apprentice leader. And in a lot of normative sized churches, I'm going to have a call with a pastor of a small church as soon as you and I are done with this. And right now he is doing everything. He's preaching on Sunday. He's leading the worship on Sunday. He's leading the small group midweek. He's doing the youth group. And I'm like, okay, you are one person and you're going to be a bottom in the ministry. You need an apprentice for each one of those things. You need an apprentice youth leader. You need an apprentice worship leader. You need an apprentice midweek small group leader. Because you can't do this in perpetuity. You will burn out. You will run out of gas. You're not only going to hurt yourself, but I think you're actually robbing other people of opportunities to step into places that they might actually have gifting and the ability to do something in a way that equips the church for what is intended to accomplish. So it's tricky. You're right. It is. We developed our discipleship pathway and now we're done. Except that the discipleship pathway doesn't actually lean into developing leaders or investing in leaders. And I think that there are multiple ways that you can do that, but I'll just kind of park that right there for the moment.
No, I think that you're bang on, Bart. In the simplest form, that's why I love the Exponential book, because the simplest form of leadership development is to actually shadow somebody who's leading, right? And so they're saying, hey, let's not make this rocket science with all these programs and structures. No, the structure that we're going to operate with, every team that we build has a leader and has to have an apprentice. And that way, everybody's being developed and we're building for the future capacity right from the jump on everything that we do and how we do it. And I think that that's a wonderful, simplistic way to get after leadership development. I think it's important for people to think, like you're saying, Bart, like what is the base aptitudes that need to be real for this level of leader to function? And that could be like for 10 different positions in the church, what are the base that we need to build for those people to function? And if you can get that clear in your mind, okay, so this person needs to know how to run a team and how to make a plan and how to execute and how to communicate and like whatever the things are that you want to come up with, And then on the spiritual level, what are the things that they need on that level? And if you can actually define what those are, you get it down to 5, 10, 15 things, then you can actually reverse engineer how you're actually engaging that. So we're not just expecting someone to show up and now you're leading a team. I've never led a team before and don't know anything about how to do that. And we give them no training and no, I think I've told this story before, but when I was in high school, I really wanted to do more for the Lord and I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, maybe I could teach the junior high Sunday school class. So I went to my pastor and said, hey, I'd love to teach the senior high Sunday school class. Will you help me? He says, I think that's great. Here's the book. We meet there on Sunday morning at 9:30. Have fun. Like there was no training. He didn't follow up. There was no conversations. There was nothing happening. By God's grace, he allowed me to do that successfully. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to help people succeed in what they're doing. I think the other piece to leadership is leadership development pathways and tracks and all those things. There's the intentional, systematic stuff we can talk about. But I think there needs to be the spiritual leaders need to be praying and talking about the leaders that are in the church. Because really, realistically, only 1 out of 10 or so people in the church really have leadership potential, leadership capacity. And different people have different levels of leadership capacity. So I think the sooner we can start to identify those people and put our hands on them and pray for them and challenge them and encourage them to step up, the better. We need to be constantly looking in and seeing, God, who have you called here in this congregation to take on these responsibilities? And who has the character in the different capacities to facilitate whatever ministry we're looking for? And you'll be really surprised because there's people who have lots of leadership who have been, they would never think of it of themselves, but you see it in them and you ask them to step up and they're like, wow, this is amazing. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. And there's other people who you put in a position of leadership and you're like, you know what, maybe this isn't really what you should be doing. Maybe you could be helping this guy do that and that's where you'd be better served. So I think really having the leadership of the church thinking about who's here and how we're actually calling them up in praying for discernment and then speaking into those people's lives and giving them opportunity. So we're just not hoping it happens somehow spontaneously or whatever in the church.
I think I'm a big proponent of having the leadership development component in a church built into the discipleship pathway. Yeah. When you and I coach churches on building their discipleship pathway, one of the things that we're often cautioning the churches on is to say, you know, our goal for the, I mean, it's unrealistic for our goal for every disciple in our church to meet elder qualifications. They're not all going to meet those. But every believer in the church ought to have some baseline things in which they are confident and competent and disciplines that they have in their daily life. And so our discipleship pathway ought to cover those basic things. Hey, what's in the Bible? How do you read it? Do you have a regular prayer rhythm in your life, right? What do you do when you sin? How do you confess that? How do you repent and move forward? What's your stewardship look like? Are you managing your resources well? And are you supporting, you know, the work of the ministry? Some of those baseline things. But within the discipleship pathway, there ought to be other leadership training components, some of which are going to be theological, some of which is like, I want my elders to have a solid theological foundation for our doctrinal positions and what we believe and why we believe those things so that they're tracking with the rest of the church. But I also want to have some leadership development components in there, whether that's small group leaders or other ministry leaders or what have you. When we fail to have the development process or the development plan, what often ends up happening in the church is someone might actually be empowered and thrust into leadership before they're ready, or they're not really qualified to do it at all.
Right.
And they get there out of desperation, out of a need to just have a person there. And we sometimes jump the gun. And by having a process in place, sometimes it slows things down. If you're going to use the apprentice model, it certainly slows things down. We're not going to be able to multiply small groups as quickly if a person has to spend a season as an apprentice before they go and lead a group. But I tell you what, when you multiply that group and that apprentice has spent a season apprenticing under somebody who knows how to lead a small group and does it well, they're more likely to be good at it. Or Maybe somewhere along the way, that leader says, hey, I have this person apprenticing with me, and I just don't think this is going to be the right fit for them.
Exactly.
Stop them from moving into that leadership position prematurely or into the wrong spot at all.
Yeah, I think that that's good. I think it's interesting when we talk about leadership development. On the front end, it's slow, but the long term, it's exponential, right? So yeah. It really is. It really does take on that way. But I think we need to be thinking and praying about who God has out there. And I always talk about ministries kind of being in three levels, you know, and I'm big on ministry functioning in teams and ministry teams. And oftentimes the first level is, you know, it's we're going to survive. we're just making the thing happen. We got it done and we finished it on Sunday and nobody died. Praise the Lord. We're in survival mode. And most churches function in survival mode. I think the next level for me is good. Like the ministry is functioning and you actually have a team and you're sharing the load and you have your way you're doing it and you're training people to execute and things are being done well. So not that things are just being done, but now they're being done well. And that's really awesome. But when the ministries function in an amazing way, when they're functioning in an excellent way, the third level, that's when they're actually functioning by not only leading the team, doing things well, but the leader is actually focused on developing the people who are doing the ministry on the team. And when you can get to that level, now we're going to see more leaders being developed, more people being moved, because there's actual intentional investment in the people doing and serving, who's helping them continue to move forward in their journey and identifying those who have leadership giftings. Most of the time, churches are functioning out of that survival mode. Oh, you're able body and you can breathe. Okay, you can, you'll be the person doing this on Sunday, you know, and we're hoping that you won't have to do that forever, but that doesn't happen because you're doing that forever because we haven't developed or found anybody else to do it. So yeah, we want to get our ministries to that level three.
A lot of the churches, a lot of the pastors that we work with, I know that it can feel really discouraging because they can look around the room and they don't naturally see people with leadership. Right. And they see people who may have led in the past, but who are now resistant to do so just because they're tired and they're not enthusiastic, which goes back to having a hopeful vision, right? When you're casting vision for people and there's a place that we can go and we're all going to work together to get there. And it's going to require leadership, not just the primary leader of the church, but a collective of leaders, people that God has brought together in this spiritual community to accomplish the mission, the vision, to be all that he has designed that local church to be in its context, in its community. You will, I think, find people who will be energized by that. When you approach people and ask them to take on leadership, a lot of times they're like, no, I'm tired. I've been there. I've done that. Don't want to do it anymore. But if you lead with a hopeful vision, you tend to get more yeses. And so let's try to package all of that together. Hopeful vision and leadership development. Nathan, any parting shots as we wrap this one up today?
No, I think it's awesome. We need churches that have strong, hopeful, comprehensive vision and really great leadership development systems and structures that they're utilizing to grow and multiply the church.
Thanks for hanging out with me, Nathan. Thanks for those of you who made it here to the end of this episode. We've been producing this podcast for a little over a year now with the goal of helping churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. If you haven't yet subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, make sure that you do that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, make sure that you subscribe there. Hit the little bell and then you'll get reminders whenever we have new episodes that drop. Again, on the 1st and the 15th of every month. And if you haven't ever been over to our website, we have a website. It's revitalizemy.church. I've got some blog posts and all of our previous episodes are there, as well as some resources that you can download that might help you as you lead your church through change. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.